Chapter 2. Not Just Any Wager. Phileas Fogg shut the door of his house at 11:30. He then put his right foot before his left 575 times, and his left foot before his right 576 times, to reach the grand building that was the Reform Club. He quickly went to the dining room and took his place at his regular table, the cover of which was already laid out with his usual lunch. He rose at 1:13 and moved toward the large hall where he spent his time reading the newspapers until dinner. Mr. Fogg returned to the reading room after dinner. Half an hour later, several members of the Reform Club came in and joined him by the fireplace. They were Mr. Fogg's usual partners at whist, a type of card game. Now arriving was Andrew Stewart, an engineer, John Sullivan and Samuel Fallenton, bankers, Thomas Flanagan, a brewer, and Gauthier Ralph, one of the directors of the Bank of England. Mr. Fogg's companions were all rich and highly respected men in England. The men soon began to discuss a recent robbery that had taken place. The affair was the talk of the town and had occurred some days before at the Bank of England. A package of banknotes, to the value of £55,000, had been taken from the head banker's table. As soon as the robbery was discovered, detectives quickly set to work in catching the thief. The Daily Telegraph, which Mr. Fogg had been reading that very day, suggested that the robber was a gentleman. On the day of the robbery, a well-dressed and polished gentleman had been observed walking around in the paying room where the crime was committed. A description of him was easily obtained and sent to the detectives. The newspapers and clubs were full of the affair, and everywhere people were discussing the possibility of the thief being caught. As the men sat around the whist table discussing the robbery, Mr. Ralph thought that the prize offered to the detectives would spark their enthusiasm for catching the thief. "I think," said Mr. Stewart, "that the chances are in favor of the thief, who must be a very clever man."
"Well, where can he go?" asked Mr. Ralph. "No country is safe for him."
"Oh, I don't know about that. The world is big enough," replied Mr. Stewart.
"It was once," said Phileas Fogg in a low voice.
"What do you mean by once?" asked Mr. Stewart. "Has the world grown smaller?"
"Certainly," replied Mr. Ralph. "I agree with Mr. Fogg. The world has grown smaller, since a man can now go around it 10 times more quickly than 100 years ago, and that is why the search for this thief will be more likely to succeed."
"And also why the thief can get away more easily," said Mr. Stewart. "You have a strange way, Mr. Ralph, of proving that the world has grown smaller. Is it because you can go around it in 3 months?"
"In 80 days, interrupted Phileas Fogg.
"That is true, gentlemen," added Mr. Sullivan. "Only 80 days, now that the section between Rothall and Allahabad on the Great Indian Peninsula Railway has been opened."
"But that doesn't take into account bad weather, strong winds, ship and railway accidents, and so on," added Mr. Stewart.
"It's still possible to do in these conditions," said Phileas Fogg.
"I'd like to see you do it in 80 days, cried Mr. Stewart.
"It depends on you. Shall we go?" asked Mr. Fogg.
"Heavens, no! But I would wager £4,000 that such a journey made under these conditions is impossible."
"Quite possible, actually," replied Mr. Fogg.
"Well, make it happen, then," shouted Mr. Stewart.
"The journey around the world in 80 days? Said Mr. Fogg.
"Yes."
"I should like nothing better. I'll leave at once, but I warn you that I'll do it at your expense."
"Well, Mr. Fogg, let's agree on this. I'll wager £4,000 on it," said Mr. Stewart.
"All right," said Mr. Fogg, and turning to the others, he continued, "I have a deposit of £20,000 at my bank, which I will risk on this bet."
£20,000! Cried Mr. Sullivan. "You could lose it all by a single accidental delay. Mr. Fogg, 80 days is only an estimate of the least possible time for the journey."
"I can do it," said Mr. Fogg.
You must be joking, replied Mr. Sullivan. An Englishman doesn't joke when he is talking about so serious a thing as a wager, said Phileas Fogg. I will bet £20,000 against anyone who wishes that I travel around the world in 80 days or less. Do you accept?
We accept, replied all of Mr. Fogg's whist partners after consulting each other.
Good, said Mr. Fogg. The train leaves for Dover at 9:15. I will take it.
This evening? Asked Mr. Stewart.
This evening indeed, replied Mr. Fogg.
Fogg took his journal out of his pocket and consulted it. As today is Wednesday, October 2nd, I will be due in London in this very room of the Reform Club on Saturday, December 21st at 9:15 p.m., or else the £20,000 will belong to all of you, gentlemen. In fact, here is a check for the amount. An agreement of the wager was quickly written and signed by all six men, during which Phileas Fogg remained calm. He had not actually bet all of his fortune. Mr. Fogg had only staked half of his fortune, £20,000, because he foresaw that he might have to spend the other half to carry out this difficult, but not impossible, project. The clock struck 7, and the party offered to suspend the card game so that Mr. Fogg might prepare for his departure. At 7:25, Phileas Fogg left his friends at the Reform Club and made his way home. Passepartout, who had studied the program of his duties, was more than surprised to see his master appear before midnight, which was his usual hour of returning home.
"We leave for Dover and Calais in 10 minutes," said Phileas Fogg. "We are going around the world."
"Around the world?"
Passepartout almost shouted.
"In 80 days, in fact," responded Mr. Fogg. "So we don't have a moment to lose. Bring down my rain jacket and traveling cloak, and some well-made shoes. Now hurry."
Passepartout, still shocked, set about making the preparations for departure. By 8 o'clock, Passepartout had packed a small travel bag containing a few items of clothing for his master and himself. Still feeling troubled about the sudden news, he shut the door to his room and went to see Mr. Fogg. Phileas Fogg was quite ready for the trip. Under his arm was a copy of the railway guide, which showed the arrival and departure times of steamships and railways. He took the travel bag, opened it, and slipped a sizable roll of English banknotes into it.
"Have you forgotten anything?" Mr. Fogg asked Passepartout.
"Nothing, sir."
"Good," said Mr. Fogg. "Take this travel bag and take good care of it, for there is £20,000 in it."
Phileas Fogg and his servant quickly departed Savile Row, caught a taxi, and drove rapidly to the railway station. 2 first-class tickets were soon purchased, and Phileas Fogg and his servant seated themselves in their train car at 9:20. 5 minutes later, the whistle blew, and the train slowly glided out of the station.